We're getting a bit of feedback and somebody turned their speakers off. Got it now?
Yep.
You all hear me okay? No, still. Okay. Good evening, everyone. I'd like to welcome everyone to the meeting this evening. Hopefully, everyone can hear me clearly. Everyone should ensure their mobile telephones are turned off or switched to silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in-committee items. Members of the public and press must refrain from using the instant messaging facility during the meeting, and anyone found to be doing so will be given a warning. Failing to adhere to the guidelines for a second time will result in being removed from the meeting. I would remind members of their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interest which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the chamber or hang up from the call for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where Council is considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system on the computer, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. Please ensure if you wish to speak on any item, either in the chamber or via Teams, that you use the chat facility to indicate you wish to speak, and I will bring members in as listed, so please use the chat facility. I will remind members to keep their instant messages to the following letters. Type Q if you wish to ask a question, or C for comment. Type P if you wish to propose. Type S if you wish to second. Please refrain from making any other comments using instant messaging. If you need to leave the meeting early, please indicate via chat facility so that we are aware this is an active decision and does not indicate connectivity problems. First of all, members, I'd like to wish you all a very happy and prosperous new year as we head into the new year, and I've no doubt everybody will be in a love-in mode as we head towards the next election. But certainly we'll start in that spirit tonight and see how it goes. But I'd like to welcome four new members to the Council this evening to their first meeting, to Geraldine Cairns and Cathal King, who are replacing the Sinn Féin councillors in Newry. You're very welcome, and I wish you well in your political careers. And also to Callum Bowsey and Jonathan Jackson, who are replacing the two DUP councillors in Rowallan. You're very welcome, gentlemen, and I wish you well in your political careers in the months ahead. I want to start off, first of all, by acknowledging the passing of quite a remarkable Newry man in recent weeks, and that's the Reverend Deacon Brendan McAllister, who was well known in Northern Ireland circles as a man of great integrity, of great faith and great compassion. He was somebody who worked very quietly behind the scenes, and I think the scale and the depth of the work that he did for peace in what has at times been this troubled part of the world is only coming to light since his passing. And that's the Reverend Deacon Brendan McAllister. And on behalf of the Council, I'd like to extend my deepest sympathies and the sympathies, I'm sure, of all councillors to his wife Elizabeth, his daughter Anna, and his sons Joseph and Tom. Brendan was a remarkable human being, somebody who went way beyond the call of duty on a number of occasions to sort and try and resolve problems, not only here, but in other troubled parts of the world. He was a victims commissioner, a man of deep faith, and had just started his new career as a deacon, only to be his life cut very cruelly short at a relatively young age. So we pass our condolences on to his family at this time. We have this district and our city has lost a truly remarkable person. I would also like to congratulate Clonduff Camogues, who are our newly crowned All-Ireland Intermediate Champions, and congratulate all the girls, the team, and the management and staff, and everybody associated with the club, and what has been a phenomenal achievement, and hopefully in the coming weeks we'll get an opportunity to honour the winning team in some form of a civic reception. I certainly have that in my diary to do. So congratulations to them. Jerry. Okay. All right. We'll move on. Any apologies?
Yeah, Councillor Karen McElwood.
Anyone else?
Michael Lipsett, Director.
Okay. Any declarations of interest? Councillor McMurray?
Chair, just item 27, Councillor Rice's motion. I'm an employee of the EA and specifically the youth service, so I'll unfortunately have to remove myself from said motion.
No problem. Thank you, Councillor McMurray. Any other declarations of interest? No. Okay.
Sorry, Councillor Savage, if I could just come in there. Councillor Hyle here. I am also an employee of the Education Authority as well, so I have to declare an interest in the same motion.
Okay, Roisin, thank you. Anybody else? No. Okay. We move on to item number 3, which is the action sheet arising from the Council meeting held on the 5th of December 2022. And we will go through those for accuracy. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, and page 7. You have a proposer and seconder, please?
So proposed, Chair.
Through the chat. Councillor Burgess, Councillor Gallagher. Councillor Gallagher, seconded by Councillor Burgess. Okay. Okay. Item number 4, the minutes of the Council meeting held on the 5th of December 2022 for approval. I'll go through them for accuracy. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9, page 10, page 11, page 12, page 13, page 14, page 15, page 16, page 17, page 18, page 19. Can the proposer and seconder please through the chat? Councillor Burgess, Councillor Andrews. Okay, thank you. Any matters arising?
Chair,
I meant to go back to the item number 3. Was there a matter you wanted to?
Yes, there's on the action sheet, Chair. Would it be possible that Paul Tomati and Michael Lipsett could come back to us? Councillor really asked, and page 3 there said that it would be the staffing issues in Kilkeel Leisure Centre that seem to be getting worse. Would it be possible there that Michael Lipsett or Paul Tomati could come back to the Mourns Councillors and give us some sort of a report on it?
Right, no problem. We'll make sure that's done.
Okay. That's fine, Chair. Sure.
Sorry, apologies for that, folks. Any other matters arising in item number 3? Valerie?
Just on the same as Glenler, could we have an update on Newry Leisure Centre, please?
Yeah.
From Michael.
Okay. Anybody else? Okay, item number 4, any matters arising in the Council meeting? No? Okay. Move on to item number 5, which is the minutes of the special council meeting held the 28th of November. I'm going to go through those for accuracy. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9, page 10. As well? It's only 3 pages. Well, it says it's all stuck together. Hang on. No, it's
tied, top 5.
Top 5, yeah, they're on the road. Sorry, pages 1, 2, and 3. Okay. Opposed by Terry Andrews. Kind of a seconder, please. To the chat, please, folks. Councillor Sharon, okay.
Yes.
Councillor Andrews.
Thanks very much, Chair. And in relation to that special council meeting that took place on the 28th of November, I must say that I'm happy to support it. It was the record of the meeting. And it was a very interesting one at bringing insight to the workings of the credit union movement and how it's been. Must be the dogs or something. don't know if it's safe to talk. Okay, thanks very much. But just more or less what I'm going to say and sum up about the meeting was it was a very interesting one, bringing in insight to the workings of the credit union movements and how they're dealing with the pressures that are being experienced by their members and the public as a result of the cost of living crisis. I must say it was very informative, and there was a lot of information that we learned on the night. So I'd just like to say well done to who organised the meeting, for those present to give us a talk on the credit unions. Thanks.
Okay. Any further comments? No. Okay. Item number 6 of the minutes of the ERT, Regeneration and Tourism Committee, Enterprise Regeneration and Tourism Committee, and we'll go through them for accuracy, see if I can count this time. Apologies. Item page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 8, that's it, yeah. Sorry, the tabs fell off there, that's what the problem was. Okay, can a proposer and seconder, proposed by Councillor Hanna, seconded by Councillor Borges. Councillor Devon, comment?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. There's actually a couple of issues that were raised in the ERT. I was hoping to make a couple of remarks on if that's possible. The first one, Chair, was just, I think, was in the back of the Chair's opening remarks to do with the geopark status. I suppose this is the first council meeting since that has came about. Absolutely just fantastic news and such a boost to us all in our stunning areas of outstanding natural beauty. We all know how sort of special and contrasting our landscapes are, but to have that accolade bestowed upon our area really is just wonderful. And a big thanks to Connor's team there, but especially to Darren. I know that there's been over 10 years of hard work in this issue, but it really has all been worthwhile. And we as a council do pride ourselves on our tourism offering, and I think the status is that next important step, Chair. There was a couple of other ones I wanted to raise as well. I'm not sure if you want me to go on ahead or do you want. Yeah, the next one was regarding the Harbour Conservation Management Plan. I suppose just to welcome both these documents, Chair, the Conservation Management Plan and the Strategic Development Framework. We all know the importance of the harbour and the potential that it has, but that potential must always mirror and enhance the harbour's heritage. So I'm really pleased that these documents have been formally adopted by Council just there now. But I suppose that next step is to ensure they don't gather dust and that they are working documents, which they will begin to shape those badly needed improvements and enhancements to the harbour area for the harbour people and our wider district, Chair. I feel like I'm on a roll here. The next one was the tourism branding. So it was just a comment, Chair. I know that the council have organised that second branding workshop for tomorrow week in the Down Arts Centre. I think it was following a request from Councillor Sharvin. So I suppose this workshop, it does start at 2 o'clock, and to encourage basically as much attempt as possible from all the tourism businesses, particularly in the northern part of our district. I know we've had one workshop which took place in St Gullion, but it would be great if we could get as many businesses as possible to come forward and to make your views known. And then, Chair, the last one you'd be glad to know is to do with the pilot fishing tours at Newcastle Harbour. I want to welcome that decision to go out for expression of interest.
That wasn't a session, Councillor Devlin.
Aye, but the recommendation wasn't, just the decision, are you then, sorry? The decision wasn't. Am I right in saying?
Yeah, as long as you don't veer into the detail of it.
No, I've no intention of doing that. Okay. Yeah. What I really want to say is, we've seen the success of the sea tours over the past year, and that would be another string to our activity, tourism bow. And we know again from that conference in the Sleeve Daughter there before Christmas the potential of outdoor activity tourism. But the sea was always that area that probably, in terms of our council, was that bit underutilised. So I'm just appealing to boat owners to that they may be interested to come forward and submit an expression of interest. And I really look forward to seeing those tours up and running in the coming months, Chair. So hopefully I didn't stray into the in committee item there. Thanks very much.
Okay. Thank you, Councillor Devlin. Okay. Any more comments on item 6? Nope. Item number 7 of the minutes of the SPNR Strategy, Policy and Resources Committee meeting held on the 15th of December. We'll go through them for accuracy. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7. Okay, can proposer and seconder please? Councillor O'Murray.
Thank you, Chair. No, just
accuracy. Proposer and seconder for accuracy.
Is that a yeah? 196/2002. Just Chair had asked that a comment be noted, just that they've been omitted, and I've spoken to Democratic Service and easing up the remedy. So thank you for that, Chair.
Okay. Okay. So we've proposed by Councillor Murray and seconded by Councillor Hanlon. With that issue that Councillor Murray wanted noted, amended accordingly. Okay. Councillor Devlin, you have a comment?
Yeah, Chair, thanks very much. I'm not sure what page it's on. It relates just to Castle Allen Forest Park project. I suppose maybe just as the Chair of the Project Board, just say matters there are progressing well. We've had our first couple of meetings, but I suppose I just wanted to express my disappointment about the damage to the historic park gates just before Christmas. I know that people will be aware that it was in social media as well. I know none of it was of Council's doing, but it's a bit of a bitter pill for many local people to swallow, and especially for those who've been so involved and committed to the development plans for the park itself. I think some additional discussions are needed to ensure that damage to this doesn't happen again. Obviously, the gates will need to be repaired, but I suppose how we move forward from that, ensuring that we're doing our best to protect the heritage and the forest parks. Maybe after the meeting, Chair, I know we're all just getting back after Christmas, and maybe link in with Connor and his team to see what we can do to move those matters forward. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, Connor, are you happy to facilitate that meeting? Okay, thank you. Councillor Rice, you didn't want to comment, did you? No? Just proposing. Okay. All right. Okay. Item number 8 is the minutes of the Active Healthy Communities meeting. I'll go through them for accuracy. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, and page 8. Can we have a page 9? Can we have a proposer and seconder, please? Councillor Sharvin proposed, seconded by Councillor Gallagher. Any matters arising? Mm-hmm. AHC? No? Okay, move on then to item number 9, which is the minutes of the Sustainability and Environment Committee meeting held on the 20th of December. Go through those for accuracy. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4. Page 5. Can a proposer and seconder, please? Councillor Andrews, opposing and seconder, please? Through the chat. Okay, Councillor Carn. Okay. Item number 10 is the planning section, local development plan. There were no issues arising. Is that correct? No papers? Where's the paper? Through them for. There's nothing on item 10. Nothing on item 10. Okay. Item 11. Items 11 through to 20 are correspondence for information. Are there any matters arising from any of the correspondence?
Yeah, just there's that many.
Yeah, folks, you need to tell me which item it is, please.
It's actually, with your indulgence, Chairperson, so listen to item number 13 and number 16 in relation to the responses from the district councils in relation to the cost of living motion that have been submitted here. And I welcome the support of those two councils and along with the other councils that have probably debated and voted upon the motion that was sent to them. So welcome and thanks. Thanks to all concerned for the support. Thanks, Chair.
Okay, can proposer and seconder. Sorry, Councillor McAteer, items number 14 and 19.
Yeah,
you want
if you don't mind linking that, they are linked. Chair, I mean, I just wanted to draw attention. We welcome eventually the replies, of course, from both government departments, North and South. What item number 14, or reply number 14, from Minister of State Stephen Baker on behalf of Secretary of State Heaton Harris. I just think that it's actually a gross insult to the Council. We wrote to the Secretary of State, there is no Stormont Executive or Parliament sitting at the moment, and we are basically the voice of local democracy here, and they hadn't the manners or the dignity to actually reply himself. Sent out a Minister of State to reply. He obviously didn't want to answer the embarrassing questions that we posed in this and how damaging this would be to tourism and indeed ordinary workers throughout this island. And this was in total contrast to the reply from the Minister for Foreign Affairs, Simon Coveney, where he, in his reply, grasped the seriousness of the matter and cited how it will damage aspects of Strand 2 of the Good Friday Agreement, and the implications for tourism and the collaboration between North and South through work and health provision, etc. So, I note that the Department of Foreign Affairs and the Irish government will continue to engage with the British government on this, which is very welcome. But I propose that we actually write back to the Secretary of State, pointing out that we wrote to him and asking him for his comments on the points raised not alone by us, but by the Minister for Foreign Affairs, which I hope he will be engaging in, and not necessarily the Secretary of State, will be passed up to the Secretary of State. So I propose that we actually write back to him, expressing our dissatisfaction at his ill manners in replying or not replying to this council. So that's what I have to say on this, Chair.
For that proposal.
Yes, Chair. Sorry, Councillor Devon's hoping to second that proposal. I've got some comments to make as well, Chair, if that's possible.
Go ahead, yeah.
Yeah, I suppose just following on from Councillor McAteer's comments there and the notice of motion he put to the Council back there before Christmas, I think the NIO's reply is actually quite pathetic and shows absolutely no understanding of the uniqueness of this island of Ireland and the border. And we're all doing our best collectively in this Council and beyond to grow our tourism product. But these proposals are simply a huge barrier to tourism and our economy. And the Irish Tourism Minister, in her reply, states very clearly that over two-thirds of tourists who come to Northern Ireland from mainland Europe or America come via the south. So all of these tourists will need a permit. Tourism Ireland will have a duty to notify all those landing in Ireland of the additional paperwork that's required to come north. And any industry expert that we've engaged with are adamant that as a result of this, these tourists simply won't bother. That's going to be a huge loss to our economy. And as the international tourists who were told time and time again to spend the most money because they're here for more bed nights, that's the evidence that we had. And I suppose we also haven't touched upon the 10% of Ireland's population who aren't Irish nor British, but call this island their home. You know, we're crying out for workers across many sectors, and especially hospitality and tourism. So again, this legislation is another clear message that our country doesn't really value their contribution. So and I do just find the proposal in general and the Minister of State's reply really short-sighted. And I just hope that some sense is seen before it's too late. So I'd be more than happy to support Declan's proposal there to write back to him in that regard, Chair. Thank you.
Okay. Councillor Reilly, you wanted to comment on item 14 also?
Yes, Chairman. Chairman, I the DUP group, we take reassurance from Minister Baker's reply, because if you look at the way the Republic of Ireland is actually abusing the principles of the Common Travel Area, it's frightening. And if you look and listen to broadcast media, print media, social media emanating out of the Republic of Ireland, there's a growing concern that the immigration problem there is growing out of control. I've seen massive protests in Ballymun, some familiar political parties involved in orchestrating those protests. I'm sure that party, maybe perhaps it's an All-Ireland party, Chairman, I'm sure that they would not want illegal immigrants travelling across the border. And the fact that this very minor imposition on tourism, I've been to Turkey, I've been to the United States, the EU, the European Union, is actually implementing an identical system next year as well. So it's not going to damage tourism in the way that people think. If somebody's not prepared to pay €3 or £4 or £5 to travel to Northern Ireland, and that doesn't for whatever period of time, they're not genuine tourists that are coming here to spend money and enjoy our scenery. But the big point is, Chairman, the fact that the Republic of Ireland is letting in so many people willy-nilly that we know absolutely nothing about. I think we, the people of Northern Ireland, of all political persuasions and castes, deserve that bit of, small bit of protection, that certificate. If they haven't got it, they're back over the border. A legal obligation on the police to send them back over the border. That's not going to affect tourism. It's going to protect the ordinary people of Northern Ireland, and I welcome it, Chairman.
Okay. Well, there's obviously division on item number 14. Councillor McAteer has proposed that we write to the Secretary of State, asking to take on board those concerns outlined by ourselves and both ourselves and the sorry, Councillor. Folks, I must stress it's very difficult to manage and to chair a hybrid meeting. So all I ask is that members please use the chat facility. Okay, and so the lights flashing isn't going to come if you can add something into it, unless your chat facility isn't working. Okay.
Trying.
Is this item number 14, Councillor Taylor? Yeah, go ahead. Councillor Enright, can you turn your speaker off, please? Your microphone, thank you. Councillor Taylor.
Chair, we've already had a debate regarding this issue at a recent meeting, and I don't think we need to go over old ground on this. And I'm not sure what the actual issue is here, to be honest with you, Councillor McAteer. There's many occasions that all politicians write letters to various ministers and other ministers or other officials respond on their behalf. It happens even within this council where we maybe correspond with directors and other officials then respond on their behalf. So I don't know what you expect there to come any different from no corresponding directly with the Secretary of State. Again, you're going to get the same response, the same detail as outlined. And it's been made very clear, it's not ignorance. Minister Baker may have responsibility for this issue. Have you taken the time to find that out? No, I haven't finished yet, but I'm just asking a question I'm posing to you. But again, it happens on regular occasions where ministers or Secretary of States are corresponded with and other ministers respond on their behalf. This isn't any change in protocol. The other issue is, we've already discussed this matter. We're not going to change our opinions on it. There are discussions ongoing between the Irish government and the UK government on that. Surely give them the space to do that. If there are any concerns and they can be ironed out, do that. We've already made our views known as parties, as representatives, the council has corresponded. There's not going to be any change in that. And give the space that's required if there is any issues to be ironed out. Let that time be given to take that, to take place. But we're not going to make any change by corresponding the same letter and the same issues with the Secretary of State again and getting the same response. It's just a waste of time.
Okay. Councillor Henry, are you looking to speak on item 14 also?
Yes, Chair. Just picking up on my good friend, Henry here and his lamentable comments about people from abroad. I mean, the Republic of Ireland is the most diverse nation in Europe at the moment, with 25% of its population born abroad, which makes the island of Ireland the most diverse island in Europe. And I do recall in the late 70s when I attended university in Dublin, there were only 1 million in the workforce in the Republic of Ireland. They're now over 3 million, and it's propelled itself now to the third wealthiest country on earth. And it's largely due to the work and to the work ethic of the new people coming into our country who've proven to be such excellent Irish citizens. And I just want to make myself put a distance with between myself and Henry on this particular issue, because the wealth of our country, north and south, will be built on diversity, and it will be built on the ingenuity and talent of people from around the world, including our own. And I speak as a person who myself has, through inability to get work, had to work in the United States, in Russia, in Germany, in Switzerland, in the Middle East. And it's part of the modern world. If you want to develop the nation, you've got to develop your experiences, and you've got to get the experiences from abroad, if you need want to develop the economy. Thank you very much.
Okay, well, as I said, there's division in the chamber on this, so
Chairman, point of order, Chairman, right to reply.
Point of order, go ahead.
Chairman, firstly, to say that the Republic of Ireland is the third wealthiest country in the world, it's not based on fact. GDP is grossly inflated by the big multinationals that are stationed there that don't pay any tax, because of corrupt backslapping deals from the days of Charlie Hockey. But I just want to point out that I am not against anyone because of their colour, creed or religion. It's nothing to do with that. It's about protecting the people here, because we do not know the background, the criminal records or anything of the thousands upon thousands of people that are entering the Republic as refugees. They're being shunned up to hotels all over the 26 counties, and the people in the 26 counties are getting concerned. If they're getting concerned, we should be concerned, and we should have safeguards for our people. That's the point that the DUP is making. We're not discriminating against anybody because of their faith, colour or background.
Well, okay, Councillor Eddy, thank you very much. The situation is still the same. We have division in the chamber.
Just make a quick point just to some of the...
Briefly, Councillor Eddy here.
As Councillor Taylor said, I don't think very much has changed since the last time we visited in one sense. Councillor Reilly still has a vision, but it's one of a vision of a police state where people are harassed as they enter Northern Ireland. And Councillor Taylor, I hope you would answer any communication sent to you personally and not get Councillor Burgess to reply, for example. So I just think it's courtesy and good manners from the executive state in the absence of an assembly and executive.
Right, look, there's a difference of opinion. If we're going, you're entitled, everybody's entitled to a difference of opinion in this chamber. I give everybody the opportunity to speak and express that opinion. A proposal has been made, and that proposal is that we write again to the Secretary of State outlining our concerns that that were echoed both by members in this chamber and also by the previous Minister for Foreign Affairs, Simon Coveney, for the Republic, and outline those concerns in a new letter. That proposal has been made by Councillor McAteer and seconded by Councillor Devlin. We're going to have to put that to a vote. We'll do it by roll call. Okay.
Okay. Councillor Andrews?
For.
Councillor Brennan?
Councillor Brennan, you're on mute.
For.
Okay. Councillor Bowsey?
Yes.
Councillor Burgess?
Hold on, Robert. You held your horse.
Sorry, you're
against.
The roll call has changed.
Hey, Robert. Hold your horses, boy.
You're no longer number three in this operation, Robert.
Councillor Burgess.
Against.
Thought that would have made change your mind there.
Councillor Byrne. Councillor Clark.
For.
Councillor Kern. Councillor Devlin?
For.
Councillor Enright? Councillor Finnegan?
If you're on mute.
Councillor Gallagher?
For.
Councillor Gibbons?
For.
Councillor Hanlon?
For.
Councillor Hannah?
Against.
Councillor Hart?
For.
Councillor Jackson?
Against.
Councillor Hoyle?
For.
Councillor Kearns? Councillor King?
For.
Councillor Larkin?
For.
Councillor Lee Surgener?
For.
Councillor Lewis?
Against.
Councillor McGuinness?
For.
Councillor Malone?
For.
Councillor McAteer?
For.
Councillor McAvoy?
For.
Councillor McKee?
Against.
Councillor McKevitt's absent. Councillor McMurray?
For.
Councillor Murphy?
For.
Councillor O'Hare?
For.
Councillor O'Murray?
Are you on mute?
Oh, he's not on the call.
Dropped off.
Councillor Reilly?
Against.
Councillor Rice?
For.
Councillor Rowan?
For.
Councillor Savage?
For.
Councillor Shardon? Councillor Stokes?
For.
Councillor Taylor?
Against.
Councillor Tinley?
For.
Councillor Traynor?
For.
Councillor Finnegan? So I have 31 for and 8 against.
Okay.
Sorry, Chair, I'm having connection issues. I don't know why. I can't see my chat and the thing at the same time, but I'm for.
Okay, we got your message. Okay, Councillor.
Thank you. All right. Thanks.
Next one is Councillor Byrne, who wanted to raise issues in relation to items 18 and 20.
Yeah, I was speaking on both, Chair, because they're connected. Firstly, to welcome and thank ABC Council for adopting the motion on Armagh Down being included in Ireland's Ancient East. I believe it was unanimously as well, and spoke to Unionist councillors on ABC and continuing to meet up with councillors, Unionist councillors there, who are really, really excited about the opportunity that this presents. And then to move on to item 20, first of all, to welcome a response from the Minister, an urgent response in a timely fashion. But to say I'm disappointed is an understatement. I mean, we all know that the formal arrangements of taking counties Armagh and Down into Ireland's Ancient East is going to be tricky, but it's one that we believe in and one that we want to fight for, and one we've got support for on this side of the border and the other side, in the south as well. So the Minister outlines that Fáilte Éireann's remit doesn't allow the counties to be included in Ireland's Ancient East, but then goes on through the letter to talk about numerous ways of which it could be included in Ireland's Ancient East, whether, albeit informally. And that's exactly what I spoke to in the motion on the night. So we need to be writing back to the Minister asking to use all the power that she has to try and develop this, because she talks about the North-South, tourism, North-South, and developing tourism in terms of the Shared Island initiative across the border. This is exactly what I'm asking for. She talks about the quarterly meetings that she has, and the frequent meetings that she has with the department as well in the north, of where she wants to engage in all-island tourism. That's exactly what we've asked her to do. So I would be very, very disappointed if the Minister went to the next meeting and didn't raise the details of this motion and the support that this motion has, and had those discussions with our counterparts in the department for the economy. So we can lead on from Fáilte Éireann and Louth. And when people come across the border, say that we are an extension to Ireland's Ancient East. I'm not going to go into the detail of the motion that I've spoken on the night, because it would just be repeating it. And we have multiple meetings set up with both Tourism NI and Fáilte Éireann in the south in the coming weeks to try and push this forward. But we've got to have the Minister on board here. We can't say that she's shackled and hold up the paddle of we have no remit. We know that there are ways around us, and she must explore those ways. If Fáilte Éireann is saying posting people from Ireland's Ancient East on across the border into Armagh and Down, that's a start. And if we have that set up and people realise what the product that we have here, and especially in South Armagh, and that enhances the Ireland's Ancient East product and taps into the shared island piece that she's speaking about the all-island economy in terms of tourism, well, that's a plus for everybody on both sides of the border. So I ask that we do write back to the Minister outlining that she has alluded to ways that we can informally help each other in terms of Ireland's Ancient East, and we can be tagged on to it, so that in the future we can try and formalise that position, and that she discusses this at the next opportunity in our sectoral meetings, or the meeting with the department that she said that she has upcoming, and then we can feed back to the council from that. But I also ask that the letter that's sent to the Minister is recorded in the next correspondence. And the reason why I'm asking for the letter that's sent to the Minister to be recorded in the next correspondence is because ABC sent a letter to the Minister asking the same thing, and they're going to get the same response back. We need to make sure that whatever response that we're sending back, to get more information and ask for an informal arrangement at the minute, that we can then liaise with our counterparts in ABC and everybody can stay on the same track. So I'd ask that she would raise it at our next meeting, and we can write back on those informal ways that we can play a role in all-island tourism.
I seek clarity, and wasn't there some recent activity in relation to the expansion of the Great Atlantic, the Wild Atlantic Way, in relation to up as far as Causeway Coast and Glens?
Yeah, and that's something that has been ongoing for a number of years, where they did politely point across the Wild Atlantic Way, where they believe Fáilte Éireann says it ends at the border, but politely pointed into Derry. And that is something that's growing legs as well, and that's all we're asking for at the minute. Now, I think when the Minister reads, that we want counties to be included, just going, well, right now we can't because we don't have a remit. Well, stop putting hurdles there. Let's see what we can do. She knows the essence of what the motion is. If there's a way that we can informally do that by working cross-border, then we should be doing it, because that is the essence of the Shared Island project that the government's talking about. So, yes, we can touch on the Wild Atlantic Way in terms of our correspondence bag.
There's potential precedent that we refer to in relation to how they've managed to engineer or navigate a pathway around that. So
the press on the informal way that we can keep this going mm-hmm. and also that she raises this and discusses this with the department at our next meeting.
Okay. Have we any objections? First of all, I need a second to your proposal, Councillor Byrne. Sorry. Councillor Enright, did you second it?
I'm happy to second it, Chair. Councillor Devlin.
Councillor Enright, there was one in on the list. Sorry, Councillor Enright. Yeah. Okay, you have enough. Second with Councillor Devlin. Okay. Any objections? Everybody supportive? Okay. Councillor Tenley, item number 20, you want to come in on, is that right?
Yeah, having too much to add, Chair, other than what Peter said, and I fully concur with everything he has said there. The response from the Minister is very disappointing, but not surprising. And I mean, like, when one thinks that within our district is the reputed burial place of the patron saint of the island and the ecclesiastical capital of the island in Armagh, and there's nothing else to add. Do you know what I mean? We should, not only should we be in that Ireland, the ancient East, we should be actually front and centre of everything it stands for. So I'll leave it at that because I'm happy enough with Pete's proposal. Thank you.
Okay, and then Councillor Andrews, you want to come in on item 17?
That's correct. Thanks very much, Chair. And at our previous meeting, we didn't have a motion about workers' legal rights to tips, and I thank everybody for support previously. But I see that there was a reply from the Permanent Secretary in relation to the motion giving workers a legal right to their tips. I do hope that when the legislation goes through the Westminster stages and becomes law, I do hope that processes will be in place to bring the necessary legislation into law, along with the relevant public consultations that have to take place. But again, as I say, I do look forward to that happening eventually. Thanks very much.
Okay, I think that's all the commentary on correspondence. Is that correct? Right, okay. Well, I move on to item number 21, which is effectively the SOLAS Local Government Conference on the 23rd of February. Anybody interested, if they can let themselves, give their names to... Sorry, we need a proposer and seconder for all the correspondents. Councillor Taylor, Councillor Curran. Okay. So that item number 21 is, we need anybody who's interested in going to the SOLAS Local Government Conference 23rd of February, please pass on their names to Marie, please. Okay. Yeah, as soon as you can. Obviously, it's the 23rd of February. It's not that far away, so the sooner you can let Democratic Services and Marie know, the better. Okay. All right, we'll move on to the notices of motion. Item number 22 is a notice of motion on Warren Point Police Station in the name of received from Councillor Rouen. It's going to be heard this evening in Council. So, Councillor Rouen, can you read out your motion, speak to it, please, and let me know who's seconding it. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Councillor O'Hare will be seconding the motion. This council recognises that the vacant Warren Point PSNI station has been surplus to requirements for a number of years. Recognising the strategic location and the size of the site, this council believes that efforts should be undertaken to return the vacant site to community use for the benefit of local people. Acknowledging that approximately 2,000 people are currently in housing stress across South Down, this council recommends the site of the old PSNI station in Warren Point be used to address the identified need for affordable housing in the Warren Point and Rush River areas. Given that the Housing Executive and Choice Housing Association have officially expressed an interest in acquiring the site via the V1 process, this council should extend its full support behind them throughout this process and offer whatever practical assistance may be required to ensure that the Housing Executive and Choice Housing Association successfully acquire this site in order to deliver much-needed social housing. Council should also write to the Chief Constable and to the Chair of the Policing Board to put on record our council's support for this proposal. And I'd also like to add on to that that the Riley family from Warren Point are notified and fully briefed on any development that is brought forward on the site, and that Joanne's memorial is appropriately sited with the family's input and approval. Chair, I'd just like to also say that we all as councillors deal with the housing need within our areas, and Warren Point is no different to that there. And I have to say, as a councillor, it's probably one of the issues that you don't like to get a phone call about, because it's so disheartening when you're unable to offer any assistance to people because of the total lack of housing within the town. And anything that we can do as a council to give hope to those people and to at least let some light be at the end of the tunnel, then we need to do whatever we can. And thanks, Chair, and I'll pass over to Jerry.
Yes,
Chair, I'm more than happy to second Mickey's motion. As Mickey says, the demand for housing, especially around the Warren Point Restrepo area and even the wider Cracklieve area, it is disheartening whenever people's calling you up looking for houses, even to rent, which is close to impossible around my area. So more than happy to second Mickey's motion.
Councillor McAteer, your proposed amendment.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Yeah, I'm very supportive of the motion in principle, of course, and I totally agree what the two fellow councillors have said regarding the provision of affordable and social housing in the area, and we all get the calls, and unfortunately there is nothing in it. So I welcome that, and I welcome the progress. But I'm not calling for rejection of housing on the site, but I'm simply stating that in addition to much needed housing, there's also a community need for healthcare facilities. So for the benefit of those members that aren't familiar with the area, the health centre in Warren Point and the library both share the same building. Now, the Warren Point Health Centre currently is unable to operate to its full capacity and potential, which means that some additional patient services cannot be offered. This is simply because there isn't sufficient space to do so, and staff are not able to occupy the building at all, and especially now as we see the whole transformation in care, where services are being cascaded down to local level, and if we don't have anywhere to put people to work, then that particular area will lose out in terms of the service, and ultimately centres can possibly close because they're not attractive to the medics that would be working in them. This is a simple fact. So my proposal really is that the library in Warren Point, which shares the same building as the healthcare, that some consideration should be given to inserting that as part of that project down at the old Warren Point police station site. It'd probably have very little of footprint impact on it if indeed they were willing to move there. Formerly, when we were in discussions about the old site and putting the community centre in there, the libraries were keen at that stage to move downtown. So there is a sort of a notion there that they may have. This may never happen, but I do think that in light of what I'm saying about a very real danger at losing healthcare facilities in Warren Point, and not alone Warren Point, but that those two centres serve Restrepo, parts of Muirbridge and Burn, not to underestimate the 10,000 population of Warren Point. So we're talking here about a big area. So my proposal is that we insert at the second last paragraph of the motion, and also invite extraordinary discussions between Libraries NI, the Department of Health, Housing Executive, and the Housing Association involved, and the current owners to consider relocating the library to part of the site in order to facilitate the expansion of Warren Point Health Centre. So that's the wording of that, Chair. And I would hope that maybe the proposal would accept that.
Councillor Ronnie, are you prepared to accept that amendment?
No, Chair, I won't be, no.
No, okay. Councillor McAteer, can you email the wording, please, to Sarah? And she can fill it out. That proposal was Councillor Gallagher. Are you seconding Councillor McAteer's proposal?
Yeah, sure, I would agree. I think it's the two councillors have said that motion is admirable as well, but I do think looking in regards to the health aspect of it, I think we kind of need to be getting the trust to kind of future-proof the health within the community as well. Sure, thanks.
Okay, Councillor Ron, could you also email Sarah the line that you've added to your motion, please?
I can, sure, yeah.
Yeah. So we actually know what the final proposed motion looks like. Thank you.
Councillor Rowan, if you can read out your last line, we got the most of it. We'll be able to get the end bit of it just.
Yeah, that the Riley family from Warren Point are notified and fully briefed on any development that is brought forward on the site, and that Joanne's memorial is appropriately cited with the family's input and approval.
Did you get that, sir? Yeah. Thank you, Councillor Rowan.
Councillor McAteer, maybe if you could just read out your amendment.
Well, I did read it out, but I'm on me to type, so I'm nearly there.
Sarah, if you just do a wee bit slower, Sarah, we'll be able to type it. Okay. It's just sometimes when it's going so fast, you get the first three words and then you forget the next bit. So
single finger typist.
Sarah got to facilitate that.
All right, and also invite extraordinary discussions between Ladies NA. Department of Health, the Housing Executive and Housing Association, with the current owners, to consider relocating the library to part of the site in order to facilitate the expansion of Warren Point Health Centre.
And where is that to be inserted?
That's at the second last paragraph. Of the
after social housing?
Yeah, I think so. Once you need a social housing, yeah, and then there.
After that, you make that the new second last paragraph? Yeah. Okay, and you're not prepared to accept that, Councillor Rowan? No.
No, Chair, because it actually takes away from the reason behind the motion in the first place. We're trying to provide housing in Warren Point. The site is of a certain size, but it's not in the business of catering for libraries as well as homes for people. And the need for the health centres in Warren Point to be upgraded or to be added to, I think, is something more than being thrown onto the end of a motion on a Monday night. If there's a need for a new library in Warren Point or the need for the health centres to be developed, then that's a conversation that those who are responsible for the health centres and the library to come to this council and speak to us, and then we can bring forward any proposals at a later date with other sites maybe that there is around the town.
Okay. We'll just copy that across now and then we'll take it. We'll just do a roll call vote on it. He did, yes. Councillor Gallagher. Councillor Enright. Councillor Gibbons has a comment. Sorry, no. No, well, hang on. There's
go ahead, first, sir.
In relation to this particular element of the amendment.
No, it's just no. On the actual motion itself.
No, we'll go. Councillor Tenley, yours is in relation to this particular element, is it?
Well, it is related, Chairman. Do you want me to go ahead?
Yeah, go ahead, yeah.
Well, listen, I suppose, just firstly on Declan's proposed amendment, I mean, like, Libraries NA and the Trust had an opportunity to lodge an expression of interest when the D1 press, the D1 process was open. And my understanding is that the only expression of interest submitted was from the Housing Executive. So who are we to tell them where they need to go? They were informed that Warren Point Police Station had come up for, was going to be put up for sale, and had the chance a number of months ago to make representations. But I support Councillor Wan's motion as it's presented here tonight, Chairman. I thank him for bringing it, because a proposal, any proposal for social housing on that site will address two important issues in relation to it. Firstly, it highlights the importance of the D1 process, whereby the Housing Executive can seek to acquire the land without having to compete with private developers in so doing. And the housing associations who presently build the social housing provision have a finite budget that allows them to identify and purchase the sites. Yet, in areas of high housing demand like Warren Point, they're pretty much prohibited from bidding against private developers on the open market because they are quickly priced out of it. So the importance of the D1 process in this instance cannot be overstated. And it is my understanding that the NA Housing Executive were the only expression of interest received by the NA Policing Board. And as such, the expectation from most people would be that it is they who will ultimately buy the site. The second issue is that it is a matter of public record that a commitment has been given to Paul and Anne Riley to retain a memorial at the site in memory of their 20-year-old daughter, Joanne, who was tragically killed in a bomb at the station in 1989. So I am delighted to hear Councillor Rowan reference the Riley family, and I'm fully supportive of what he is adding on to the original motion. So I'll leave it at that. Thanks, Chair.
Thanks, Councillor Tinley. Just give me a second. Councillor Gibbons, do you want to comment?
Yes, Chair, just very quickly. Fantastic motion by Councillor Rowan. I'm delighted that it's going through. There's a huge demand for affordable housing at Warren Point, absolutely. So anything like this can help. And I would just like to ask Councillor McAteer, I'm just a wee bit bemused about this amendment that seems to be shoehorned, as Councillor Rowan mentioned as well, into the back end of this motion. Is Councillor McAteer speaking on behalf of Libraries NA and the Department of Health? Have they contacted Councillor McAteer asking for these exploratory discussions?
Yeah.
No, Libraries NA haven't actually, but they were in contact with the council before. But the people concerned with in the health service have expressed a desire to have an expansion of the service there. And they both, the Department of Health actually own the building. So Libraries NA are merely tenants in it, as far as I understand. And There's been next to no forward planning, Councillor Gibbons, as we all know, in the health service. So it's up to local people at the end of the day to drive these things forward and not see the collapse of our health services are right round us. I am not, as I said in my opening remarks, I am fully supportive of all the social housing that's planned for the site, but the site will be too big. As I said it there earlier, the site would be too big just for the library. A small portion of it could be for the library, if they so wished. Now, at the end of the day, if my proposal doesn't bear fruit, and the discussion don't bear any fruit, fair enough. The problem won't have gone away for Warren Point with the health service. So this was a public opportunity here, and if the health service didn't spot the opportunity and sit down discussions, I think it's incumbent upon me as a local councillor to certainly draw awareness to this, and that's what I've done tonight.
Okay. Any further comments, Councillor Gibbons?
No, that's all good, Chair. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Councillor Enright.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, a lot of us, most of us, I think, attended the Housing Executive Conference in the Burrendale, and the statistics in our area were pretty clear. Outside of the Newry and Downpatrick areas, there was an acute shortage of social and affordable housing throughout our area. And in fact, our area was the worst in Northern Ireland for an acute shortage of housing in rural areas. We were worst by a good mark. And then within that, there were a number of villages, in particular Warren Point, Ross Trevor, and in my area, Strangford, where local people have been totally priced out of the market in terms of affordable or social housing. Now, I know we as a council have proposed a new housing policy, CU7, which will take a number of years before it can come into effect to replace PPS 21, which really wasn't fit for purpose to allow social and affordable housing to be delivered at the edge of villages. So hopefully, when we eventually get the development plan, we'll have CU7 to help us in our rural areas to deliver social and affordable housing. But in the meantime, we need imaginative ways of delivering, particularly in the towns of Warren Point, Strangford and Ross Trevor, social and affordable housing, because it's gone beyond a joke. It is quite a serious situation. Thanks, Chairperson.
Chair, it's just point of order. Is it not understand procedures that a vote would be taken on the amendment and no further conversation outside of the amendment would take place? Should we not be voting on Councillor McAteer's amendment rather than allowing discussion on the original motion?
Technically, you're right. Yes. Okay, then we'll take the roll call on it. Okay. Councillor.
I would have to turn interest on Councillor McAteer's amendment. I have a family member working for the library.
Okay, thanks, Councillor Stokes. Okay, sir.
Yep. Councillor Andrews.
For.
Councillor Bisey.
Against.
Councillor Brennan.
This is on the amendment, Sarah.
On the amendment, yes.
Against.
Councillor Burgess is absent. Councillor Byrne. Councillor Clark.
Against.
Councillor Kern. Councillor Devlin.
For.
Councillor Enright.
Against.
Councillor Finnegan.
Against.
Councillor Gallagher.
For.
Councillor Gibbons.
Against.
Councillor Hanlon.
Against.
Councillor Hannah.
Against.
Councillor Hart.
Against.
Councillor Jackson.
Against.
Councillor Hoyle.
Against.
Councillor Kearns. Councillor King.
Against.
Councillor Larkin.
Against.
Councillor Lee Surgener.
Against.
Councillor Lewis.
Against.
Councillor McGuinness.
Against.
Councillor Malone.
Against.
Councillor McAteer.
For.
Councillor McAvoy.
Against.
Councillor McKee.
Against.
Councillor McKevitt's absent. Councillor McMurray.
Against.
Councillor Murphy.
Against.
Councillor O'Hare.
Against.
Councillor Murray's absent. Councillor Riley.
Against.
Councillor Rice.
Against.
Councillor Owen.
Against.
Councillor Savage.
For.
Councillor Sharvin. Councillor Stokes had declared an interest. Councillor Taylor.
Against.
Councillor Tinley.
Against.
Councillor Traynor. So I have 9, 4 and 28 against.
Amendment falls. I take it then we're all, are there any dissenting voices in relation to the original? Sorry. This isn't updating, sorry. Councillor Hannah.
Yeah, Chair, thanks. We'll be supporting the DUP group, and we'll be supporting Councillor Rohan's motion, and we're delighted to see that he's recognising the victim of terrorism and that they'll be properly commemorated, so they will, and a proper position is put for a prominence for the individual. Thanks, Chair.
Okay. Okay, so take it, we're in full agreement then? No dissenting voices. Okay. Thank you, Councillor Rohan. Your motion's duly passed. Do you want to sum up?
Get a chance to sum up, Chair, yep.
Yes, that's what I'm saying, yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'd just like to thank all those councillors who've supported it. And unfortunately, I thought coming to the council meeting tonight, this would have been a pretty straightforward motion. And we'd have dealt with it in maybe 5 or 10 minutes. But then again, Councillor McAteer brings his nonsense to the table. And then you have to go through all this nonsense that we've listened to for the past 10 minutes. But then that's what we've come to expect. This is too important an issue, and anything that, as I said earlier on, that we can do to actually deal with the housing situation that we have, be it in Moran Point or anywhere else in Newry, Moran Down, then we need to do what we can. And again, thank those who supported the motion.
Yep. Okay. I think at the end of the day, we've all supported the motion in full. So move on now to item number 23 is the notice of motion from Councillor Enright on business improvement districts. This is being sent to ERT. Councillor Enright, can you read out your motion, please, and advise who's seconding it?
Thanks, Chair. Andy's going to second it, Chair. This council recognises the important role that business improvement districts can play in promoting regeneration, leading economic development, and providing a collective voice for local businesses. It also recognises the excellent work already being done by the Newry BID, and that this can serve as an exemplar for bids across the district. Council will use its human or other resources to enthusiastically welcome and support plans to establish new bids across the district, especially in our main towns. Thank you, Chairperson.
I've been saying.
Sorry, Councillor, what are you seconding it? Yeah, thank you. Second by Councillor White, that'll be going to ERT. Okay, item number 24 is a notice of motion of the non-functioning Northern Ireland Executive and Assembly in the name of Councillor McMurray. This is going to be heard in the chambers. Can you read out, speak to your motion, Councillor McMurray, and advise who's seconding?
Thank you, Chair. Councillor Lee Surgener will be seconding the motion. This council notes with concern previous, current and prolonged non-functioning of the Northern Ireland Executive and Assembly. This council should communicate to both Secretary of State for Northern Ireland and the Minister for Foreign Affairs of our opinion that the structural reform of the institutions is a pressing necessity to end ransom politics and support continuous government for the betterment of all in society. Chair, essentially this is born out of a frustration relayed to many by me regarding the current and previous non-function of the Stormont Assembly and Executive. Regardless of how we have arrived at the current impasse, or indeed previous stalemates, structural reform of how the institutions operate is required to facilitate continuity of function in democracy for the betterment of all in society. For not the function only erodes the public trust and faith in our political institutions. The Alliance Party is committed to stable and sustainable power sharing that respects liberal democratic principles and enables the development of a shared future. Quite simply and depressingly, the current collapse is stemming in progress and development in many aspects of people's lives, health service reform, cost of living crisis, economy stimulation, climate crisis and the green economy, education underachievement and systemic and associated systemic challenges. But also Stormont is much more than a legislative institution. It is a symbol of the desire of the majority of those in our society that quite simply want to get on with it, regardless of ideological or constitutional persuasions, via democratically accountable institutions. Both immediate and medium-term reform is necessary. We see the immediate challenge that changes required is falling out of three broad strands: executive formation, effective government, and executive functioning. Without changes to the mechanisms of how we govern, we'll inevitably continue to repeat the cycle of crisis and collapse, whilst failing to put the best interests of society at the centre of our politics. This is not an acceptable way to govern and must no longer be tolerated. Reforming how the executive and assembly functions does not alter the fundamental principles of the Good Friday Agreement. Reforming Stormont will be significant in restoring public confidence in devolution and ensuring the long-term stability of the assembly and executive, ending ransom politics. We recommend the following packages To facilitate the executive formation, the process of nominating First and Deputy First Minister must be amended. Essentially, if any eligible party are unwilling to do so, they should form an opposition and allow those willing to govern to do so. To facilitate a functioning assembly, a weighted majority of approximately 2/3 to replace parallel consent and cross-community votes. And to facilitate a functional executive, if the threshold for triggering cross-community vote within the executive should be reformed. We're not where we are after the 98 Good Friday Agreement. We're not where we are after the 2006 and Damage Agreement. As such, there's a requirement to reform this governance structures which are in place. That Stormont has not functioned for 40% of its lifespan since its most recent inception does not point to a sound system of governance, which is what we all deserve. Thank you, Chair.
Councillor Sharvin, sorry, Councillor Surgeoner, you're going to second, is that correct?
That is correct, Chair. Happy to second.
Okay. Okay, I see. I'm going to take, Councillor Sharvin has proposed an amendment here. I'm going to take it first and then I'll take the rest of the comments and questions. Councillor Sharvin?
Yeah, Chair. I think Councillor McMurray mentioned it in his piece, but it's not actually mentioned in the motion itself, Chair. The amendment would be that of our opinion that structural reform of the institutions in the spirit of the Good Friday Agreement is a pressing necessity to end rancid politics and support continuous governance for the betterment of all in our society. So, Chair, it's the inserting of in the spirit of the Good Friday Agreement. I think that is a vital piece that's missing within the notice of motion. And as Councillor McMurray touched on, the actual St Andrews Agreement has tragically been the most significant institutional reform thus far. It actually was designed to promote tribal vetoes and victories rather than common endeavours and good governance, which the Good Friday Agreement was. The SDLP has well been an architect of the Good Friday Agreement, but have always been an advocate of review and improvements of its working. So, Chair, I'd put the amendment forward.
Councillor McMurray, you prepared to accept that?
Yeah, that sounds fine.
Okay, duly noted. So, after the word institutions in the spirit of the Good Friday Agreement is to be inserted. Okay? Okay, any objections? Okay, we'll have to let that roll. Okay, comments, please, then. Councillor Riley.
Thanks very much, Chairman. Chairman, the Belfast Agreement was designed to protect minorities within Northern Ireland, ensure parity of esteem of both communities, and enshrine the principle of consent in underpinning Northern Ireland's constitutional status as an integral constituent part of the United Kingdom. The Belfast Agreement restored self-government to Northern Ireland on the basis of power sharing, and it included acceptance of the principle of consent, commitment to civil and political rights, cultural parity of esteem, and exclusively peaceful means. Many people in the unionist community who supported the agreement in principle back in 1998 recoiled at the prospect of men and women prisoners who had slaughtered the innocent and terrorised the community here for over 30 years should be released early as part of the agreement, and they actually withheld their support for it. Those issues are now behind us, and the Assembly has in fact demonstrated over many years that it can indeed work as one for the benefit of all our people. But the constitutional balance has been totally upended by the imposition of the Northern Ireland Protocol as part of the UK withdrawal agreement from the EU. The Protocol has only been partially implemented and has a series of deferrals in place at present, but it is already damaging the quality of life for people who live here. The Nutfield Institute just last week reported that Northern Ireland is now being deprived of up to 30% of the therapeutic drugs and medicines that are available to our fellow citizens in England, Scotland and Wales, directly because of the imposition of the stringent rules on the protocol dictates. This demonstrates the danger the protocol presents to all our people, regardless of class, creed or colour, and the DUP is right to do what is needed now to repair the damage being done by the protocol. We in the DUP are working to a long-term positive agenda and not populist short-termism, as we see coming from the likes of the Alliance Party, that wants the rigorous implementation of the protocol, regardless of the damage it would cause. It's also interesting to note that when Sinn Féin denied government here for 3 years to get their way on cultural issues and policing and justice, the Alliance Party was virtually mute on the reform of Stormont. But now, once majority rule, Suvay and Sinn Féin could join hands and dominate every aspect of life in Northern Ireland. The DUP will continue to expose Alliance hypocrisy and protect the principles of the Belfast Good Friday Agreement for the benefit of all our people. We will not be supporting the motion.
Thank you, Councillor Reddy. Councillor Taylor.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, listen, at the outset, you know, I want to say that the Ulster Unionist Party does want to see Stormont operating to its full extent and delivering good government for the people of Northern Ireland. However, we do have concerns regarding the motion that has been brought by Alliance here this evening. I think an important point is at the very start is that how Stormont operates is not a matter for any other government than the UK government. It's an internal affairs matter, and as such, it should be dealt with by the UK only. And I have concerns about the fact that we would be opening a suggestion that we should negotiate with the Irish government on such an issue. Then it's very clear within the Belfast Agreement that how our Assembly operates is an internal matter. And it's also important to note that the Belfast Agreement was a carefully balanced outcome voted by the people of Northern Ireland via referendum. And every time that we have seen amendments to the agreement, it has created more difficulties and has led in part to where we are today. I would also say that it's important to note the protections that are in place within the agreement, and as frustrating as the current situation is, this is what the agreement provides for, and that ensures that progress is dependent on the support of both communities, and that's nationalist and unionist and others. And any potential changes to that could remove those protections that are in place, and that's what we have to be very careful about when we call for wholesale changes. And we also need to recognise the root of the problem, and Councillor Riley has outlined that issue in terms of the Northern Ireland Protocol. That's where we are today, because of the protocol and the fact that the placing of a border in the Irish Sea has placed the integrity of our constitutional position at risk, and that's why we are where we are. And it's clearly unacceptable to unionists, in the same way that nationalists had outlined their objections to a physical border infrastructure between Northern Ireland and the Republic. And people should really take the time to understand the genuine unionist concerns that there are in this issue. And sometimes I feel if those concerns were taken seriously, we could be in a better place, that we could find ourselves finding solutions to the problems that we have here at the moment, that's preventing the return of the executive and the return of the assembly. And again, it has been outlined, there is a need for a consistency of approach on this matter. The Alliance Party, as an example, now demanding change. They were silent on this issue when Sinn Féin closed Stormont for 3 years and held the people of Northern Ireland to ransom. And there is a real danger of a charge of hypocrisy being levelled because of that. And that's a genuine concern that I have in this regard too. There wasn't any call for change. But now, when it suits a certain agenda, this is where we'll go with it. And on the basis of the points that I've outlined, we can't as a party support the motion or the amendment that's been outlined here tonight.
Okay. Councillor Murphy.
Thanks, Chair. Well, I agree with the first sentence in Annie's motion. I certainly agree with many of the sentiments that you've expressed when you're explaining your motion. But we would have a difficulty with regards to your idea of structural reform within the Assembly without having proper debate and discussion, you know, within the relevant institutions with regards to that. So for those reasons, we will not be supporting this motion.
Okay, just for the record, Councillor Stokes has seconded the amendment from Councillor Sharvin. So the motion, as it reads, is this: Council notes with concerns
notes was concerned previous, current and prolonged non-functioning of the Northern Ireland Executive and Assembly. This Council shall communicate to both the Secretary of State for Northern Ireland and the Minister for Foreign Affairs of our opinion that structural reform of the institutions in the spirit of the Good Friday Agreement is a pressing necessity to end ransom politics and support continuous governance for the betterment of all in our society. So we have a division in relation to the motion itself. So we'll go to a roll call. There was no dissent on the amendment.
It's a substantive motion.
It's as amended. The amended substantive. We're voting on the amended substantive motion. There was no dissent in relation to the amendment.
Councillor Andrews.
For.
Councillor Bowsey.
Against.
Councillor Brennan.
Against.
Councillor Burgess is absent. Councillor Byrne. Councillor Clark.
Against.
Councillor Kern. Councillor Devlin.
Councillor Devlin, you're on mute.
No, she's off mute. Can't hear her.
Councillor Devlin, can you hear us? Councillor Devlin, if you can't hear us, can you type it in, please? Can you put a message? Yeah. Oh, we can't hear you if you can type it in.
Councillor Enright?
For.
Councillor Finnegan?
Against.
Councillor Gallagher?
For.
Councillor Gibbons?
Against.
Councillor Hanlon?
Against.
Councillor Hannah?
Against.
Councillor Devlin's for.
Yep. Councillor Hart?
Against.
Councillor Jackson?
Against.
Councillor Hoyle?
Against.
Councillor Kearns? Councillor King?
Against.
Councillor Larkin?
Against.
Councillor Lee Searchner?
For.
Councillor Lewis?
Against.
Councillor McGuinness?
Against.
Councillor Malone?
Against.
Councillor McAteer?
For.
Councillor McAvoy?
Against.
Councillor McKee?
Against.
Councillor McKevitt's absent. Councillor McMurray?
For.
Councillor Murphy?
Against.
Councillor O'Hare?
Against.
Councillor O'Murray's absent. Councillor Riley?
Against.
Councillor Rice?
Against.
Councillor Wan?
Against.
Councillor Savage?
For.
Councillor Sharvin?
For.
Councillor Stokes?
For.
Councillor Taylor?
Against.
Councillor Tinley?
For.
Councillor Traynor?
For.
So I have 13 for and 24 against.
Okay. Motion falls. Okay. Maybe on. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, no, slightly disappointed, not going to lie, but there you go. Just to come back on a few points raised, you know, I think, you know, certainly the DUP and the UUP have used started talking about the protocol, and really what we're talking about was completely superlative to what the motion was about, which is about providing good governance within Stormont, which is disappointing, but there you go. Regards to, we have called for this, Chair, we called for this, whenever the Good Friday Agreement was arranged, we called for it whenever Sinn Féin were not in Stormont. That is true, and it.
Good order, folks. Please, one speaker.
Thank you, Chair. And we've called for it now, so that's fair enough. You know, again, certainly when it comes to. Yeah, no, that's fair enough. The only thing I would say as well is, you know, the DUP are happy enough to go against us, but again, Donaldson wants a voluntary coalition, which is essentially what we were trying to suggest as well. So, I mean, it's just, you know, I'm curious. I'm just struggling to join up the dots from some of the logic from some of the other parties here. Chair, thank you.
Okay.
Sorry, Chair, can I just amend for the recording? It was actually 14-4 and 24 against.
14-4, 24 against. Okay, the motion falls. Maybe on the back of the news today that there's finally been some degree of a semblance of a minor agreement between Europe and the UK government, that we may have some movement in the protocol in the coming months, and we might get some sort of a movement towards getting government back because our people need it. Okay, item number 25 is the notice of motion on the 180th anniversary of the Newcastle fishing disaster in the name of Councillor Clark. This is being sent to Good Relations. Councillor Clark, can you read out your motion and advise who's seconding it, please?
Thanks, Chair. Councillor Michael Rice will be seconding. This council acknowledges that this month, January, is the 180th anniversary of the Newcastle fishing disaster, in which 73 fishermen lost their lives. This council, in partnership with the Harbour Heritage Association and the Harbour community, should install a memorial garden as a permanent and fitting tribute to those who lost their lives in the 1843 tragedy, as well as those who have lost their lives through the dangerous occupation of fishing. Thank you, Chair.
And who's seconding it, Councillor Clark?
Councillor Michael Rice.
Councillor Rice, sorry, I didn't hear that. Okay. Thank you. Item number 26 is notice of motion, Daisy Hill Hospital elective overnight stay centre in the name of Councillor O'Hara. This has been sent to SPNR committee. Councillor O'Hara, can you read out your motion and advise who's seconding it, please?
Yes, Chair. Councillor Murphy seconded. I just want to say, I think this is only about the second motion I've brought the council inside 4 years. Hugely disappointed that it's not being really heard of full council. It's such an important motion in my eyes, you know. But what do? You know, kind of a sad. But anyway, here goes, Chair. That this council acknowledges the announcement on the 19th of October 2022 by then Health Minister Robin Swan that Daisy Hill Hospital will become an elective overnight stay centre for patients requiring immediate complexity surgery with an overnight stay. Accepts that this announcement demonstrates the competence of the Minister, Department of Health, to nations that Daisy Hill Hospital can provide this regional service and improve access and reduce waiting lists for planned elective surgical care for the people of Newry, Mourne, South Armagh and Down. Further accepts that key to implementing plans to make Daisy Hill an overnight elective stay centre will require acquisition of the Monaghan Row Council site. Commits as a matter of priority to make public its plan to facilitate the transfer of the Monaghan Row site to the Southern Trust so that Daisy Hill can join the elective care centre model and play an important role in tackling our lengthy waiting lists and improving outcomes for our patients. As I was saying, Councillor Murphy is seconding my motion.
Okay. Thank you, Councillor O'Hur. And just in relation to clarification, if the way it's going to SPNR, this is a policy and resources matter. That's the reason why it's been sent there. Okay. Item number 27 is a notice of motion on funding cuts by the Education Authority in the name of Councillor Rice. This is going to be heard in full council. So, Councillor Rice, can you read out your motion, speak to it, and advise who's seconding, please?
Thank you, Chair. And Councillor King, Cathal King, will be seconding tonight's motion. This council recognises the potential of the devastating cuts by the Education Authority on our youth services. We accept that the impact of these cuts will be devastating for youth providers, for youth services, and ultimately for young people across the council area. Youth groups are already under immense pressure, and further cuts will have a detrimental impact that will be felt across for years to come. It's extremely disappointing in the manner in which these matters have been communicated to the youth service providers and the service users. The lack of clarity and effective communication has meant that youth groups have been left in limbo, wondering what the outcome of these cuts will have on the services they can provide for young people. This council commits to writing to the Education Authority, urging them to scrap any plans to cut youth services in Newry, Mourne and Down. This council further calls on the DUP to get back to work around the executive table with the other parties and get locally elected ministers in place to support the public against the British government budget cuts. And, Chair, I would like to further add to this motion that we request a meeting with the a special council meeting with the Education Authority to discuss the cuts and share our opposition to any further cuts. Thank you.
Yep. Okay. Thanks, Councillor Rice. Okay, Councillor King, you're seconding?
Thanks, Chair. And yes, I'm happy to second my colleague's motion. And look, just a couple of words with that is also, there's no doubt the impact of these cuts will have a detrimental impact for youth services across with the district, meaning many youth clubs would have to cut services, with some having to go from full-time to part-time. The cuts have been a massive U-turn for youth services, with groups rightfully concerned with how they can deliver now these services. Many young people in our community will be left behind, especially those that are not part of a sports club. For them, youth clubs are the only extracurricular activity they enjoy outside of the school setting. Youth clubs provide a host of facilities and services to meet the needs of their children. These cuts will force them to make a tough decision on what services they can offer going forward. And once again, a second motion.
Okay, thank you, Councillor King. Councillor Hannah.
Chair, Councillor Bosie there, he's going to speak on our behalf on this.
No problem. Councillor Bosie, go ahead.
Firstly, thank you for your welcome and look forward to working with everyone. Hopefully that'll remain the case. Regarding the motion, I think it's fairly amenable, other than, of course, the dig at the DUP in the last paragraph. So I would amend removing the last paragraph and adding the following. This council is disappointed that Sinn Féin Finance Minister failed to make education a priority in his draft budget, which among other things resulted in the majority of other parties in the executive refusing to that budget. This council firmly believes that education should be a priority for any future executive and calls on all other parties to support this position.
And I'll second that, Chair. I'm sorry.
Seconded by Councillor Hannah. Okay. Bit of order, Councillor Reilly. We haven't brought cheerleaders into the chamber just yet. Okay. Councillor Rice, you prefer to accept that amendment?
No.
No. Okay. So, bit of order in the chamber, folks, please. Procedurally, we're trying. Have you got a Councillor Hannah seconding it? There's obviously division in the chamber on. We need the wording again. Could you circulate that wording, please?
Yes,
sir. No, I think he's going to send it. Can you email it?
Can you
email it? Email it to Sarah. To Lady Sarah.
No, did you email him just yet, Alison?
Okay, members, the wording of Councillor Bowsey's amendment is in front of you. I'll give you a minute to look through it. Okay, as I say, there's division in the chamber, so we will go to a roll call on Councillor Bowsey's amendment, seconded by Councillor Hannah. And we take the roll call now, Sarah.
Councillor Andrews?
Against.
Councillor Bowsey?
For.
Councillor Brennan?
Against.
Councillor Burgess is absent. Councillor Byrne? Councillor Clark?
Against.
Councillor Kern? Councillor Devlin?
Against.
Councillor Enright?
Against.
Councillor Finnegan?
Against.
Councillor Gallagher?
Against.
Councillor Gibbons?
Against.
Councillor Hanlon?
Against.
Councillor Hannah?
For.
Councillor Hart?
Against.
Councillor Jackson?
For.
Councillor Howell?
Roisin, you're on mute.
Oh, she's not there. She's dropped off. Councillor Kearns? Councillor King?
Against.
Councillor Larkin?
Against.
Councillor Lee Sojourner?
Against.
Councillor Lewis?
For.
Councillor McGuinness?
Against.
Councillor Malone?
Against.
Councillor McAteer?
Against.
Councillor McAvoy?
Against.
Councillor McKee?
For.
Councillor McKevitt is absent. Councillor McMurray? Oh, it's absent. Absent. Councillor Murphy?
Against.
Councillor O'Hare?
Against.
Councillor Murray is absent. Councillor Riley?
For.
Councillor Rice?
Against.
Councillor Rowan?
Against.
Councillor Savage?
Against.
Councillor Sharvin?
Against.
Councillor Stokes?
Against.
Councillor Taylor?
For.
Councillor Tinnelly?
Against.
Councillor Traynor?
Yes.
So I have 7-4 and 29 against.
Okay. The amendment falls. We also have division then on the main motion. Okay. Before that, with comments from other councillors, we'd hear on the main motion itself. Councillor Byrne?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Before I raise some comments on the motion, which is a very good motion that's brought by Councillor Rice, just to say that I'm disappointed that the level of that parties have put into this motion is to hone in on the last line of political parties. I think that's disgraceful. And see if the young people out there were listening to this and they're laughing across the chamber and add in DUP and add in Sinn Féin, they'd be horrified. Because this campaign has been going on for the last number of months. There's been cuts year on year to this budget for youth centres. I am very involved in the youth centre that I used to be chairman and I'm patron for in Cross McLean, and work on the budgets and the applications for this core funding. And I can tell you, this December has been ridiculous. Really, really difficult. There are 25% cuts proposed to the budget in the youth centre that I work with in Crossendown. Don't work in, not affiliated, don't need to have a conflict of interest. Sorry? Let me finish, Lynn, and then you can go back in. So much so that it took to protests, it took to working with Youth Work Alliance to get this application process stopped that had to be in by the 21st of December. We were working on multiple people in the community trying to work and trying to get people not to lose their jobs in the youth centre, trying to stretch a budget that was cut by 25% over three heading profiles where you've got overheads trebled. Our overheads have trebled. Our programme costs have been reduced to zero, but yet we still have to put some money in to meet the trebled overheads and the programme costs and not cut staff. So the Education Authority are coming back and saying these don't amount to cuts because the budget isn't set. This is all they can give at this point. Tell that to the staff when we go in January this week and try and tell people that we have to cut their hours or cut their roles. Because when the budget is set, they'll be moved on and the service in Cross Medellin will be diminished. And that is right across all youth centres. So to see, you know, an argument brought down to the political level is disgraceful. It should be removed from it. Because if the people working with Youth Work Alliance or the clubs heard an excerpt of this debate, they'd be horrified. We should hone in on the funding.
I just want to make that point from...
Are you proposing an amendment?
No, I'll propose an amendment to the motion that I hope Councillor Rice will take that strengthens the motion based on the work that we've been doing with the Youth Work Alliance. So, obviously, the Youth Work Alliance have come back and I think it was... Una Torbett had written back to all the clubs on, I think it was the 17th or 18th, just before we had to have the applications in for the funding, saying that she's listening to the protest from the people, from the young people, from the youth centres and from wider stakeholders, and has paused the application process that we don't have to submit until the 18th of January, which is next week. Has also stated that there will be further information on other funding streams that will be released around the 16th of January. Now, that's not good enough. To give the youth centres the additional information on other funding streams, which will really help them put money into each of the subject headings and see where they need to profile all the money, to release that 3 days before you have to submit it is unacceptable. And she knows that. We've went through the Youth Work Alliance and youth clubs and we're all making that point to her. But it also, it doesn't give the youth clubs enough time to try and sort out the budgets. And the first thing that they need to do, the Education Authority, is if they don't have a budget set, which they don't have at the minute, and they're saying this is all that is available at the minute, then why should youth centres have to outline their 3-year spend? We've applied for core funding for 3 years. We have to outline in the categories what we'll spend on staff, what we'll spend on overheads, and what we'll spend on programmes from now over the next 3 years. Yet they can't set the budget. And there is next to zero flexibility in that. And that's a frustration for clubs over the years because there has been year-on-year cuts in the budgets. And when you have some underspend in your programmes and you want to move it over to your staffing, you're not allowed to. You have to make an application for it and you have to clear so many hurdles that it is so difficult, it's very hard for volunteers to do. So if they have no budget set and they're coming with cuts of 25% for clubs when we've got extortionate overheads, they can't lock us into saying that our overheads are going to be 20k this year. There must be maximum flexibility for clubs across the overheads or across the expenditure. And that's one thing that we should be calling for.
Do you have a rewording of an amendment?
Yes, I'll get to that, Chair. I'll get to that. The clubs are under immense pressure, huge pressure, and I agree with the warden in Councillor Rice's motion right down until the second last paragraph. The council commits to writing to the Education Authority urging them to scrap any plans which cut youth services in Eary Moran Down. We've done that through the protest. They've come back formally and said that they're disappointed that these are seen and being described as cuts, that they aren't cuts because there is no budget set. That's a play on words. They're saying it's all they can offer now without the knowledge of what their budget can be. So they have no plans for cuts, as they've written back to all the youth clubs. So I think if we write that back to them, we're going to get the same letter back that we got on the 19th from Una Torbett to say that we have no plans for cuts and this is all that we can financially give. But when funding comes available, we'll make it available to clubs. So I think we should add in there as well, if Michael would accept this amendment, that we further ask the Education Authority to ensure that in the absence of the set budget, that maximum flexibility is shown to successful applicants regarding expenditure across budget headings. That is absolutely key for clubs to keep going. And I'll tell you why it's key and why I would like Councillor Rice to accept the amendment. If we go in our budget profiles now with the 25% cut, and all clubs, I'm speaking, all clubs are the exact same, and more money becomes available, we can't move from that overheads into our staffing. We simply can't do it. We have to lay off staff right now. If we know we've flexibility, we can work around and keep the staff until the budget is set, March or April or whatever time it is, so that we're not laying off staff in the next 3 months. And we can work money around the budget headlines, which they will currently not allow us to do. So I think it's really, really important that we ask that that's in and we get a response on that from the Education Authority.
So you're proposing remove?
No, not remove. Add to it. I think it's right that we can still keep in urging them to scrap any plans. Right. But on that solely, they'll come back, Councillor Rice, they'll come back and say there's no plans to cut. So if we put in also further asking the Education Authority to ensure in the absence of a set budget, maximum flexibility is shown to successful applicants regarding expenditure across budget headings.
So
that flexibility will actually strengthen Councillor Rice's amendment of calling for the urgent meeting with the Education Authority. I support that. I think it's the right thing to do. But all clubs will have their applications submitted by the 20th. If we have maximum flexibility then, that meeting doesn't lose any of its impetus. You know, so impetus, sorry.
Impetus. Yeah, can I just get clarity in relation to what you're proposing here? You're that what you've just called out goes in after Nuri Mornin Down.
Yes,
you
right after
about,
Nuri Mornin
Down. You talked about the removal of, as it stands, this council calls on the DUP to get back to work around the executive table and other parties to get locally elected ministers in place and support the public against British government cuts. Are you proposing the removal of that?
No, do you know what? I don't want to get into that. I have no interest in that. I've no interest in getting into the politics of this. I want to keep it on the youth centres and the funding for the young people in the area. I'm not interested in removing or adding to that. I made my comments on that at the start. I find it disappointing. But I do want to have the flexibility in the budgets, because if we do meet them after the 20th, all centres will have their budgets submitted. We still will have a bit of strength to speak to them about moving money across budgets, even if more money comes available.
Okay.
If we have them submitted with no flexibility, well then, we're pretty much doomed.
Okay. Councillor Ray, are you prepared to accept that amendment from Councillor Byrne?
Yeah,
thanks. So. When you turn off your mic, Councillor Byrne, please.
Yeah, I accept the amendment.
Accept the amendment. Okay. 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 Councillor Traynor.
Thanks very much, Chair. And Councillor Rice, thank you for bringing this to this chamber. I suppose many who have been here maybe over the last 6 years know I have a very great affinity with youth work. I've previously worked in the youth centre in Downpatrick here, a bit like Pete, and have been involved at different levels with the funding and such. And Pete's just, he's hit the nail on the head whenever he's been describing the situation for youth centres out there, whether it be voluntary or even the statutory. You know, youth service cuts, it's one of the first things that happens when it comes to education and cuts in education. It's historically underfunded. It's not that this is something that's new either. Historically, youth service, a bit like the ambulance service for the health department, youth service has been underfunded. And year on year, it's one of the first areas that they will look at when they're looking to make cuts. And that severely disadvantages every young person who lives in this council area. The work that is done in youth centres for the social and personal development of young people who attend those is immeasurable. It is immeasurable. I can tell you, I'm a product of a youth centre. I wouldn't be who I am today or where I am today without the interventions in a youth centre, or without the work that youth workers would have done with me and the volunteers would have done with me. And I'm sure there's other people who are probably sitting in this chamber, but other people who are out there who would say the same. It can shape your life in many ways that formal education cannot. Informal education is vitally important in the development of all the young people in this area. And that development, it can happen in youth clubs, it can happen in sports clubs, it can happen in any club, but youth clubs are what's under the knife now. Tonight, the motion that we have in front of us, it's youth clubs that we're looking at. It's the funding that is provided through our youth services. So, no, Chair, I just wanted to make sure that it was that I got that point across about how important this is. And let's not beat about the bushes, as Pete has rightly pointed out. Let's not make this about politics, because you can blame the finance minister, you can blame an education minister, you can blame any minister for anything you want to, realistically. It's not about blame. It's about looking for solutions. It's about looking for things that will work. And that's what we need people to do. That's what we need political parties to do. That's what we should be doing as representatives. We should be looking for solutions for the problems that are facing the people that it affects. And the people that it affects is our young people. So if we want to invest in our younger generations, well, let's make sure that there's appropriate investment in youth services as well as formal education. Thank you, Chair.
Councillor Taylor.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, listen, I had no issue with the vast majority of the motion and Pete's amendment that he outlined as well. You know, it's an extremely serious issue that needs addressed, and whatever we can do as a council to try and, you know, offer support to those youth groups that are affected by this, we should be doing that. It's a petty political nature of the motion that I have the issue with. And the DUP will obviously, you know, stand up for themselves in this issue. But it's frustrating. The motion itself, if there was the petty politics were taken out of it and the hypocrisy that's attached to this game, because without sounding like a broken record, was sat out government for 3 years because Sinn Féin taking a position that led to issues like in education, health, economy, etc., being affected in the same way. But if we could get some unanimity tonight on this motion, I would appeal to Councillor Rice to take out that last paragraph so that we can send a united message as a council that we have serious concerns about the cuts that are potentially ahead of us here on this issue. If we do genuinely care about it, take away the petty politics of it. Take away that last paragraph and get some unanimity amongst us all as councillors on it. If that's still and I can't support it, fully behind any action that we can take to address the cuts. But I'm just concerned that we're sitting here on a monthly basis now, coming up, dealing with this nonsense when we should be focusing on the issues that are at hand. So I'd appeal to you, Councillor Rice, to give genuine consideration to it. I want to see some unanimity on an issue that matters to all of us here. So I'm asking for that appeal, for that amendment.
Councillor Rice.
Well, if that's in the interest of getting unity across tonight's council, then I will accept taking it out.
Okay, Councillor Tinley.
Yes, Chair, I'm delighted to hear that last response there from Councillor Rice, because my sentiments were along the same vein as Councillor Taylor, that the last paragraph was pretty much diminishing the motion, but for unionists, it's the only thing they see in the motion. And I mean, like, let's be honest, we've metaphorically kicked Big Henry and Big Glynn about the chamber for the past 3 or 4 months, and it's had absolutely no effect. And I'm not sure if that warden had stayed in tonight would have been any different. So I would dare suggest that if Michael, Councillor Rice, is magnanimous enough to remove that last paragraph, that there would be unanimous support for the motion. And I hope that is the case. Thank you.
Well, on that basis, the opposition was to the original wording of the motion came from the DUP. Councillor Bowsey, are you happy on behalf of the DUP and the DUP grouping to agree?
That sentence removed there.
So on the basis that that sentence is removed, Councillor Burns' amendment is put in on the additional wording in relation to writing to the Minister. Do we have unanimity? Councillor Tinley, were you seconding Councillor Taylor's proposal?
Yeah, I will do, yes.
Yeah, that's okay. No, if it's proposed amendment, then Councillor Rice agreed to it, okay. So on that basis, then, we have unanimity on the motion. There you are now. My optimism at the start of the meeting wasn't misplaced. We are in for a happy new year.
As long as the education sorry, don't write back, it's because of the DUP.
Councillor Rice, you want to sum up? Thank you.
In adding the dig, as you might say, the DUP, this isn't the political football. This is what I heard on the door in meeting with different youth clubs throughout the mornings. The frustration is lying at one party, and I can only go on what I've been told. But in the interest of unity and tonight, and hopefully this will actually further on our issue of stopping the cuts, I'm prepared to accept the amendment.
No problem, Councillor Rice. It was a very good motion. Thank you for bringing it. Item number 28 is a notice of motion on the Good Friday Belfast Agreement in the name of Councillor Stokes. This has been sent to Good Relations. Councillor Stokes, will you read out your motion, please, and advise who's seconding it, please?
Yeah, Chair, it simply is this, that our council appropriately mark the 25th anniversary of the Belfast Good Friday Agreement, and Councillor Andrews has kindly offered to second it, Chair.
Okay, well, let's go into Good Relations, and obviously there'll be a bit of work done on that over the coming weeks. Okay, item number 15. Sorry, do you want to... Sorry? Thanks, sorry.
So just thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair.
All right, item number 29, the notice of motion on former Down District Council building, and that's in the name of Councillor Sharving. This has been sent to ERT. Councillor Sharving, can you read out your motion and advise who's seconding it, please?
Yeah, for the trust, Connor, I'll have it sorted out, no bother. Nearing Mourne and Down Council recognises the significant history that the former Down District Council building has to this area, and through this motion will carry out full research into the history of the workhouse, resulting in an interpretive panel being erected at the site for visitors and residents, and a temporary exhibition at Down County Museum to be arranged, and Councillor Kern is seconded.
Okay, and you're optimistic that Connor sorted out. So there we are. Optimism is running rife tonight. Okay, that brings an end to the meeting tonight, folks. Thank you very much. Everybody have a safe journey home, and the best of luck for the rest of the year. Thank you.